Chapter 6. Mentors. In his second year at Auburn and his fourth year in architecture school, in the fall of 1971, two very special professors, Jim Jones and Lewis Lanter, entered Ken's life. They were both outsiders. Jim came from Berkeley, California, where he had worked with Christopher Alexander on A Pattern Language, a book that tremendously influenced Ken and hordes of followers to this day. A Pattern Language contains thousands of different patterns that human beings adhere to in every conceivable way of making habitable spaces. And Lewis Lanter came from the Columbia University graduate program, where he had worked with Victor Chris Janer, running a very peculiar and controversial graduate program. Janer was into Jungian psychology and wanted to explore the inner meanings of buildings in the same way that Jung explored the inner lives of people. He wanted to know why most older buildings seemed to have more soul or essence than newer ones. Luckily for Ken, both professors found a small and unknown passage in the academic playbook for courses in the Auburn Architecture School. It stated that if a student had a mentor who guided him or her through their classes, the student could eschew classes in favor of an independent study with that professor. So these two bold, eccentric professors went to the higher-ups and told them they wanted to mentor Ken. In him, they found a kindred spirit who was interested in the new ideas about architecture that they were teaching. He would write his own programs, and they would simply advise him and answer questions. Thankfully, he was able to work with them along these lines for 2 years. Both Jim and Lewis were fundamental to Ken's developing his own vision toward architecture, and they heavily influenced his thesis, Architecture in Search of a Soul, which is available for purchase online at the Ken Tate Design Store, www.ktdesignstore.com. Without those two influences, Ken said, I don't know if I would be doing what I am today. During that period, Ken formulated an inner understanding of his place in architecture that had nothing to do with the way architecture was being conceptualized at the time. Reading Jung's Modern Man in Search of a Soul and Psychology and Alchemy at the same time was instrumental in this understanding. Ken began to determine that there was a certain alchemy to making a great building. Similar to the way alchemists sought methods by which to turn a base metal into gold, an architect could, by using real materials that came from the earth and resonated a certain quality, turn base materials into a sort of gold. During this time period, Ken also worked with models, teaching himself how to design one part of a building at a time. One specific model project he worked on was for a library on a river in a southern town. For this, he built the central library first in model form, then moved on to what the building needed next functionally, and then proceeded from there, adding on each time in model form. This way, the building ended up being a fully developed idea based on Alexander's piecemeal growth concept, the idea that many great buildings are developed slowly over time. Ken used that same idea but had a functional timeline for his project. He later used that very idea on actual houses, most exceptionally with David Emery's American Colonial Residence in the Belmead neighborhood of Nashville, which has the appearance of having been added on to for over 270 years, and in 2010 won the Schutze Award from the Institute of Classical Architecture and Art. Although the architects A. Hayes Towne in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Addison Meisner in Florida both did this to some extent, Ken had no awareness of their work at the time. Concerning Ken's thesis, he had been wondering what it would be about for months. He had been writing essays, for himself, about architecture ever since he started being mentored by Jim and Lewis, so with some material already in hand, Ken decided to take an introspective look at his own student body of work from the previous 2 years, as well as his views on the state of architecture and its future. Ken and Charm decided to move back to Columbus, Mississippi, for Ken to write his thesis in a bedroom of the home of Charm's parents, because it was a quiet, free place to live where he could immerse himself inwardly in the writing and drawing of the thesis. He was unsure about how to begin, but once he started, the words began to flow. For 3 straight months in the fall of 1974, Ken wrote continuously while listening to music by Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, and Mussorgsky, Night on Bald Mountain. This music must have accelerated Tate's creativity because extraordinary, visionary ideas about Jungian psychology, outsider art, utopian fantasies, his own student designs, of course, Gestalt therapy, warnings about wholesale modernism, the state of the profession, synchronicity, prophetic visions about the future, humanism, avant-garde literature, German expressionism, and more flooded his psyche. When it manifested as sentences, it all started to interconnect and have a cohesive meaning. The title emerged as well, Architecture in Search of a Soul. This writing and its intent has stayed with Ken all through the years. So much of it was and still is essential to his thoughts and philosophy about architecture and life, expressed in forms that lean toward the traditional, but with a flair for the expressionistic. In his thesis, Ken wrote, "My last design work at Auburn was the continuation of the earlier library project in model form. This was undertaken using the basic essence, or plasma, of the original design. My intent was to bring the so-called Greek Apollonian art and Dionysian music forms into a greater union, building onto the primordial form of the original design a sense of greater sublimity, the spirit of something tragic, something which moves the soul to sublime pathos." Ken also writes about the art of alchemy in his thesis. "I discovered the art of alchemy in those moments also, out of necessity, out of desire, out of a wanton crave for the ugliness to be transformed into beauty, for the dead to become alive. I created an illusory world, but a world truer to mine own self than the one existing. I became a magician and not a stoic. My new role, to entangle myself in a web of illusion for the real world, the modern one, was despicable. I became entranced by my own creations, for they were an image of my own visions and thus a part of my illusion. The illusory world gave me hope, lifted me like no reality could have, allowed me visions of ancient writings and fallen civilizations, gave me foolish insights, and showed me the power of mine own passion." Ken learned later that many students in the following years at Auburn were studying his thesis because his philosophical and psychological perspective on the nature of architecture was truly unique at the time. Ken had the opportunity to speak to one of these students recently. That student told Tate that his thesis had inspired him to teach, and that he had indeed gone to Harvard after Auburn, where he ultimately found tenure as a professor of architecture. It was validating for Ken to know that others are on a similar journey in search of architecture that is humanistic and soulful.